fourth chapter of the laws of Zchiya Umatana, regarding the acquisition of an object which has no owner, and also regulating the giving of gifts. This chapter contains 14 halachas. Perek Revi, the fourth chapter, halacha Aleph. This halacha deals with a person who receives a gift and then changes his mind to say that he does not want the gift. As we have learned in previous chapters, just as in the case of buying an object, one must do an act of kinyan to fulfill his acquisition of the object, so too in a gift, as we mentioned in Perek Shlishi, one must do an act of kinyan in order to acquire this gift. So a makabel es hamatana v'zocha bo, a person accepted a gift and therefore gained acquisition of it. V'acher shebo liyodei v'hu shesek. After it entered his hand, and he was quiet, he did not make a comment upon it. Later on, chazarbay, he changed his mind. The fact that he was quiet initially indicates that he accepted this gift. Should he immediately have said he didn't want it, he would not acquire the gift. But in this case we're discussing in our halacha, he was originally quiet, indicating that he accepted it. As the principle is in general, shtika kaheida. If one is quiet, this indicates he agrees. Therefore, his silence indicated he was accepting this as a gift. But later on, he changed his mind. Va'amar, he said one of the following statements. Eini reitzebo, I don't want it. Oyeini mekablo, or he says, I don't accept it. Oy harehi batelo, or this is nothing, this is worthless. Oy sha'amar, or he says, mumzen nirali ba, I see the following blemish in this object. Evidently referring to a blemish he originally saw also. And originally he did not mind this blemish on this object, but now he does mind this blemish. In any of these cases, lay amar klum, his statement is worthless, at least as far as nullifying the original gift. Since he was quiet at first, the transference of property has taken place. It goes out of the hands of the one that gave it and goes into his hands. And he cannot change this transaction. However, since he has made a statement indicating he does not want it, it will have implications as we will now see. So, k'shem she'ena neisen yochel achzer bei, just as the one that gave the gift can no longer change his mind and demand the object back, so too the recipient is not allowed to change his mind after he has already acquired the object. Since he was quiet at first, he has accepted this object, and he cannot reverse the deal and give it back to the one that gave it. However, since he has indicated that he no longer wants it, the following law applies. Matana zusha amar amakabel, this gift, regarding which the recipient said one of the following statements, such as Ein Reitzeba, such as I don't want it, Acher Shebosel Yodei, after it came to his hand, Harei Hi Hefker, it becomes ownerless, V'kol HaKedem Bo Zochavo, and anyone that takes possession of it first gains the right to it. Why? Shahare Hefkira, because he declared, he renounced ownership of it, HaMakabel, the recipient, after he acquired it. Since originally he was silent, this indicated that he was accepting possession. Later on he said he doesn't want it. This indicates he is renouncing ownership and it becomes ownerless. And as we mentioned previously, in the laws of Zchi and Matana, that once there is an ownerless object, anyone can acquire it by doing an act of kinyan. However, if the recipient screamed out from the very beginning that he did not want to accept this object, he was not originally quiet, indicating acceptance. He immediately said he didn't want it. He never received it. And the ownership of the object goes back, or rather remains with the original owner, since he originally indicated that he did not want this object. In the next few laws, the Rambam deals with being zeicha, literally meriting this object through someone else. That you would want to, Reuven, for example, would want to give an object to Shimon. Shimon is not there, so instead he gives it to Levi and says, Levi, you accept this on behalf of Shimon. What right does Shimon have to later on reject receiving this object from Levi, who was used as an agent to receive it for him? And if he does not want it, what is the law of this object? Halacha base. Hamazakel lechaveru b'matana al yedei acher, a person that gives his friend a gift through someone else. For example, Reuben gives Shimon a gift through Levi, who accepts it on behalf of Shimon. Kivin shehechzik ba'acher, as long as the one person has gained possession of it, such as Levi, who is now accepting on behalf of Shimon, has acquired the object through an act of kinyan, of acquisition. Could gain, for example, shamasha hamatautilin. He moved or pulled movable objects, which is a valid act of kinyan. Or he gia shtara karka liyode, or a document indicating transference of land comes to his hand. Or hechzik bakarka, or he did an act indicating that he has gained control over the land, such as putting up a fence or something similar, as we discussed previously. If any of these is done, zocha chavere, the recipient, the intended recipient, Shimon, gains acquisition of this object or land, even though the object has not yet come into his hands. The person who originally gave it, Reuben in our case, is not allowed to change his mind. Once he has given it over to the agent, Levi, it already indicates that it is out of his hands. However, on the other hand, Shimon does not have to accept it. The recipient has the advantage here. He can do what he wishes. If he wants, he can accept it. And if he doesn't want it, he doesn't have to accept it. Why? Because the halachic principle is shazakin la'adim shalei b'fanav, that you can do something to a person's advantage, to his merit, even though it is not in front of him. In other words, you can do a favor for someone even if he does not know you're doing it. Vein chavin lo ela b'fanav. But you cannot do something he does not want on his behalf unless he knows about it and it is done in his presence. Therefore, when Levi accepted the gift on behalf of Shimon, if Shimon wants it, the transaction was valid. However, if Shimon does not want it, it shows that he has no connection with it, and it is not considered a desirable thing for him. Therefore, Levi did not represent his interests, and the transaction does not apply. The principle here is that it is considered to be a merit, an advantageous thing to someone to have a gift accepted on his behalf if it's something he wants. But if he does not want this gift, you cannot give someone a gift against their will. If he doesn't want it, obviously he does not consider it to be a schus, not consider it to be a desirable thing, and therefore Levi did not represent Shimon's interest and he does not have to accept the gift. Now, halacha gimel applies both principles from his previous two halachas. Let's say an agent Levi has been assigned, and later on reveals to Shimon that he accepted a gift on his behalf. And Shimon reacts as our person did in halacha aleph. He does not immediately say he doesn't want it. On the other hand, he doesn't say he does want it. He is quiet, and later on says that he doesn't want it. Halacha gimel. Zoch le'al yedei acher. If a gift was given to someone through someone else, as we mentioned in Halacha Beis, Reuben gives Levi a gift to accept on behalf of Shimon, Ukishor Mahamakabu. And when the intended recipient hears, when Shimon hears that Levi accepted a gift on his behalf, Shosak, he was quiet, which normally indicates acceptance. Va'achakach tzavach. And later on he screams out, Va'omareini makabla. He says, I don't accept it. When we Delta in Halacha Aleph, we said that Shtika Kahida, his silence indicated an acceptance. And later on, when he said he did not want it, this indicates that he has renounced his ownership on this object. However, in this case, Harezeh Sofek, we are in doubt. Why? Because his reaction can be interpreted in two ways. First of all, when there is a possibility, Imzesha Shosak Kvar Rotza, when this that he was silent indicated his acceptance, and this that later on he screamed out shows that he changed his mind, exactly as we learned in Halacha Aleph. However, in this case, since there is an intermediary and he is just being notified that the gift was given to Levi on his behalf, we could interpret his silence another way. Perhaps he was quiet simply because nothing has yet come into his hand. He hasn't yet seen this object, and he does not consider it to be a practical reality. And therefore he didn't react. His silence does not indicate acceptance. He is not taking it seriously, since he didn't come into his hand yet. And later on, when he screams out, literally, the end proves what he meant at the beginning. Originally, his silence wasn't clear to us. What did he mean by his silence? Perhaps he just wasn't taking it seriously. Now that he has screamed out that he doesn't want it, this shows that to begin with he didn't want it. Perhaps he was silent just because he wasn't taking it seriously. Since we can interpret it in either one of these two fashions, therefore it's a suffix, it's a doubt. Whether he was originally silent for acceptance, therefore he accepted it. It is no longer any connection with the original owner, and now he has renounced ownership, and it is Hefker. Or perhaps he never accepted it to begin with, and therefore it returns to the original owner. What do you do practically? Lefichach, therefore, im kodem acher v'zocho boi le'atzmei. If another person comes along, a fourth person, Yehuda comes along, and grabs this object for himself, ein meitzin miyodei. We cannot take it away from him. Why? Because shema ha-makabel zocha. Perhaps his silence originally meant that he accepted it. V'kiven sh'amar eini rotzeba. Once he says he no longer wants it, harei hifkira k'mosher biyarno. He has renounced ownership. It is hefker, ownerless, as we explained in Halacha Aleph. And a person who first acquires it for himself owns it as a result of taking it out of its ownerless state. However, on the other hand, after Yehuda took it, v'imchazer abaylim harishenin, v'tofsuha miyad zesha kodem v'zacha ba, if the original owners, in this case Reuven in our example, grab it away from the hand of the person who was the first one to grasp it out of its ownerless state. In other words, Reuven came and grabbed it away from Yehuda, who took it after Shimon renounced ownership. We can't take it away from them either. We can't take it away from Reuven. Why? Shem, because there's another possibility here. What did he mean by his silence? Shem ha-makabu le-zocha. Perhaps his silence meant that he didn't accept it in the first place. And once he said that I don't want it, perhaps this showed that his original intention was never to accept it in the first place. And perhaps he never acquired ownership to begin with. And perhaps it remains in the original owner's possession. And therefore, we have no clear proof to take it away from Reuven after he's grabbed it away from Yehuda. We wouldn't grab it away from Yehuda because perhaps he has a right to it. Perhaps Shimon accepted it and then renounced ownership. On the other hand, if Reuven grabs it away from Yehuda, we can't take it away from him either because it remained in his original possession. The principle is that whoever is holding on to the money holds on to it unless we have a clear proof it does not belong to him. Therefore, if Yehuda grasps it, we cannot prove it's not his. We cannot take it away. If Reuven grasps it back from Yehuda, we can't take it away from him either. We have no clear proof it does not belong to Reuven. Now the Rambam distinguishes between a case where someone is appointed to be mazake, to act as an agent in order to accept the gift on behalf of someone else, and a shliach who is appointed as an agent to transfer or transport the object to a certain recipient. Halacha dalet. Reuven shorotza liten meyad dinarin l'shimen. Reuven wants to give 100 dinar to Shimon. Shimon is not in his presence, however. V'sholach le'hameya al yedei Levi. So he sends this 100 dinar to Shimon through Levi. Levi as the agent to give them to Shimon. Now there are two ways in which Levi can be appointed. Levi could be Zeicher, could act to accept the 100 on behalf of Shimon, and later on he is responsible to give them to Shimon, obviously. Or he could merely be a mailman, so to speak, an agent to deliver the 100 to Shimon. So we look at the expression that Reuven used when he gave Levi this money. Im omer le'zechei b'me'ezuz l'shimon. If he says, you shall merit, literally, or you shall acquire this 100 zuz for Shimon, or he used an expression, oitein mea zuz l'shimon, give this 100 zuz to Shimon, both of these indicate that he was appointed to accept the 100 on behalf of Shimon, and therefore, eina yachol achzer bei. The giver, Reuven, is not allowed to change his mind. It is considered to be an absolute gift. Avlim Omar Le, Hoylech Meizuz LeShimon. However, if he said, transport this 100 zuz to Shimon, in this case, he's not accepting it on behalf of Shimon. He's only like a mailman, so to speak. And therefore, Yochalachter Be Ashiagia Hameya Liyad Shimon. Reuben is allowed to change his mind as long as the 100 has not reached the hands of Shimon. Just as in any case of a Shliach, someone that is appointed as a messenger, since he was appointed by Reuben, Reuben can unappoint him at any moment he wishes. Should he do so, the relationship for which Levi in this case has been appointed has been dissolved, and Levi no longer represents and no longer is able to carry out this wish, since Reuven has now indicated he does not want the money to be given to Shimon. However, if Levi was Zeicha for Shimon, in that case, it immediately, since he is acting on Shimon's behalf, it immediately is considered the property of Shimon. Continuing this last case, when Levi was appointed as a mailman to transport this 100 to Shimon, Halacha hei. If Levi transported this 100 zuz, which was sent with him to be given to Shimon, he looked for Shimon and was unable to find him. What does he do? He must give the money back to Reuven, since Reuven only appointed him to give it back to Shimon. If he can't find Shimon, he must return the money to the one that originally gave it to him. Let's say Meis Shimon b'chayi Reuven, that Shimon passed away during the lifetime of Reuven. In that case, Yachzer l'Reuven, he must give the money either back to Reuven or l'Yorshav, or give it back to the ones that inherited the estate of Reuven. That perhaps Reuven intended the money should be given specifically to Shimon. Now that Shimon has passed away, perhaps Reuven does not want it to be given to those that inherited the estate of Shimon. Since it is not yet Shimon's property, it has no, the ones that inherit Shimon's estate have no right to this 100 dinar. Therefore, it must be given back to Reuven, or if Reuven has passed away, to those that inherited the estate of Reuven. Let's say the opposite happens, not that their intended recipient died, but the giver passed away. Meis Reuven b'chaya Shimon. Reuven passed away during the lifetime of Shimon. Shimon is still alive, but Reuven is not. In this case, Yiten Hameyeh LeShimon Oy LeYorshav. The 100 is given to Shimon, or if Shimon is no longer around, it is given to the ones that inherited the estate of Shimon. Why is that? Why in this case do we give it even to the ones that inherited the estate of Shimon? Shemitzvah Lakayim Divrei Hameis. That it is a mitzvah to command, to fulfill the command of a person who has now passed away. So therefore, at the moment Reuven passed away, the messenger, Levi, was commanded to fulfill his orders, to carry out his orders and give them to Shimon. And since Reuven is no longer alive, it is as if Shimon has acquired possession of them at that moment. Since Shimon has acquired possession at that moment, should Shimon pass away subsequently, since it was totally Shimon's possession, it gets handed over to those that inherit the estate of Shimon. And va'afa pisha omar advarim v'hu bari, even though Reuven uttered these words, this command, when he was still healthy, nevertheless, we assume that the same thing applies now, shahare hameya b'yodeh shel shliach adayin. Since the 100 is still within the hands of the shliach, the messenger, he has the ability to carry out the orders which he was given to give it to Shimon. Therefore, at the moment Reuven passes away, since the shliach still has it, he has the right and obligation to fulfill the words of the deceased. And therefore it goes over into the possession of Shimon. Or should Shimon no longer be around, those that inherited the estate of Shimon. The basis for the following law is the principle of Zechiyah Mitam Shlichus. Why is it that one person, in our example Levi in Halacha Dalet, could act as an agent to acquire a gift on behalf of Shimon, that since he could be a representative, a shliach of Shimon, it is as if he becomes a messenger, a representative to accept the gift on behalf of Shimon. Since Shimon could appoint Levi as a representative, it would be valid. So too, in this case, he is allowed to be Zeicha, since he could become a shliach. Therefore, we will see that who would you be able to use? Who can Reuven appoint to be Zeicha? For Shimon would have to be somebody who would be fit as a shliach. Halacha vav. Ein adam Zeicha b'matana l'chaverei. A person cannot be used to accept a gift on behalf of his friend, ad sheyeh ha-Zeicha gadol u'ben das, unless the one who is acting as the agent to accept is a grown person and is also of sound mind. V'echad ish v'echad isha. Can be a man or woman, afilu eshes ish, even a married woman who might be considered to be under control of her husband, she is also valid as a shliach. And furthermore, the same thing applies, ve'eved v'shivcha, a male or a female slave, referring to an eved k'nani or shivcha k'nanis. Although they cannot be messengers or cannot be zeicha for their own master, since they are considered to be an extension of their master, nevertheless, someone else's eved or shivcha could be a zeicha for you. Abul Hagoy ain't a zeicha. However, another non-Jew, a regular non-Jew, is not valid to be zeicha to accept a gift on behalf of a Jew. Hoyel the ain roy l'shlichus le'elam kach ain't a zeicha liYisrael. Since he is in no way fit for shlichus to be a messenger, so too he cannot be zeicha. As we mentioned, zchiyah mitam shlichus, one can only merit or accept this gift because it is as if he is a shliach, an agent of the one who it is being accepted for. Since he cannot be a shliach, an agent, so too he cannot accept it on behalf of him. And so to the converse applies, and just like a Jew may not become a shliach, a valid agent of a non-Jew, so too he could not accept a gift on behalf of a non-Jew. Just as the non-Jew cannot accept for the Jew, so too the Jew cannot accept for the non-Jew. Halacha Zayin. Katan shenayin leitzrer v'zerkei egoiz v'neitlei. A child with sufficient knowledge and understanding that when you give him a rock, he throws it away. But you give him a nut, he takes it. In other words, he can tell whether something is of value or not. Such a child is zeichel la'atzmei ve'ena zeichel la'chedim. When he is given a gift, he acquires it for himself, but he will not acquire it for another person. However, pachos mizeh, if he does not have this amount of understanding, leizoch la'atzmei v'lei la'chedim, he cannot acquire not only for other people, but even for himself. The reason it is good in the case of a child who has this level of understanding is, as the Magid Mishnah explains, the concept we have encountered before, das acheres makne, that there is someone else who has intention that the transaction should take place. And although the child does not have sufficient standing in Jewish law to have the knowledge with which he can make a valid acceptance in terms of this zechiyah, nevertheless, since there is someone else that is giving it to him, he can be zeicha, he can merit it for himself. But just like the child who has no understanding or insufficient understanding cannot even utilize this other person's intention in order to acquire the object, the kein hasheita, so to someone who is mentally defective, he cannot merit an object for himself, but not for certainly for someone else. However, someone that gives a gift to somebody that is a sheita, mentally defective, through a person who is of grown and of normal intellect, it is a valid act, and the regular person can acquire the object on behalf of the sheita. However, a cheresh, a person who is deaf and dumb, can acquire something even for himself, unlike a sheita. As the Rambam explained in the Laws of Theft, Perek Yud Zayin, the 17th chapter. Halacha hei, zochen lakotan afilu ben yei mechot, that one is allowed to acquire an object on behalf of a child, even a child one day old. Although this child would be invalid and does not have the knowledge with which to accept the gift, him or herself, nevertheless, one can act as an agent to do something which the child would probably, at least later on, derive enjoyment from, the acceptance of a gift. Ula gadol, and to act as an agent in which by which to accept a gift on behalf of a grown person, bein b'fanav, bein shalei b'fanav, whether or not you were in front of the person. And in addition, v'chatzera shaladim kainalei, shalei midaite. So too, the courtyard or the land of a person also can act to acquire an object for him, even without his knowledge, and afo pi she'ena oimicham, even though the owner of the field or courtyard is not standing there. Kiven she'igi amatana l'chatzera, that as long or as soon as the object the gift has reached the courtyard, ki'ilu zocha ba'acher. It is as if someone else, another person, has accepted the gift on behalf of the owner. In this case, it's not another person, it's his own chatzar, his own courtyard. As the Gemara explains, that the reason we have an idea of kinyan chatzar, that the courtyard of a person can act as a valid form of kinyan, is because it is as if it is an agent, a shliach of the owner. And just like a shliach, a messenger could be appointed to accept a gift, so too we have an idea of zchia, of someone that could accept on behalf, even though he has not been appointed a shliach. And so too, a courtyard could also act as an agent, so to speak, of the owner of the field or the courtyard, even without his knowledge. However, there are certain limitations on when a courtyard can act as a valid form of kinyan, as we have discussed before, and the Rambam repeats here. Halachates, b'med varim amudim, when does this apply? That the courtyard of a person can act as a valid form of acquisition, even if he is not standing there, b'chotzer amishta meres, in a courtyard which is protected, which is enclosed. Just like a shliach, a messenger, has a hand with which he can hold the gift, so too, this courtyard is enclosed, and it is capable of protecting this gift from anyone else. If it is a courtyard which is not enclosed and is therefore dissimilar to a messenger, for example, the field of a person or a deserted house which it belongs to him, it cannot act as an agent to acquire the gift for him unless he is standing on the side of the field or the deserted house and he explicitly says, I want my field to merit this gift for me. If he is standing there, number one, and number two, makes this statement, only then can it act as his agent. And now, the Rambam deals with another form of acquisition, which our sages decreed that arba ames, the four ames, approximately 6 feet, surrounding a person, also becomes his property in order to acquire a gift which is put there. The kain arba ames shel adam shehu aimi betzidon kainin lei, and so too the four ames of a person that he is standing on the side of this area, also will act as a valid form of acquisition from him, if it is in any of the following places: besimta, the corner of a public domain, or betzider reshus harabim, the side of a public domain. Both of these places there is not great amount of traffic, or bechotzer shein lo bailim, or in a courtyard which has no owner. In any of these cases, our sages decreed an idea of kinyan dalet ames, that the four ames surrounding a person would be considered an extension of himself in order to acquire an object, and therefore it belongs to him. And they decreed this in order to keep people from fighting with each other about lost objects. However, if it's in a public domain where there are many people, or in someone else's field, his four ames will not be sufficient to acquire an object for him, until the gift reaches him in the hand. And so too, uktana tiska lo chatzera arba ameshalor. So too, the chatzer, the courtyard which belongs to a girl who is underage, also there is a concept of kinyan dalet ames. And the reason is, although she is young, she is underage, we see that as far as the law of divorce is concerned, that the courtyard of even an underage girl who was married is now accepting a divorce, the divorce is valid even if thrown into her courtyard. And since we see that there is an idea of kinyan chatzer, that the courtyard can acquire things for her in a case of divorce, we say that the same thing applies for any monetary case. This is, however, only in the case of a minor girl. Aval hakotan, a minor boy, ein azeicha shetagia matana liyodei, oy ashe yisko layacher. He does not merit the object until it reaches him in the hand, and as we mentioned previously, only if he has a sufficient amount of understanding to throw away a rock and hold a useful nut, or until someone else merits on his behalf. Now the Rambam will deal with another aspect of shlichus, of appointing messengers, the principle given in the Talmud, milu lo mimsere l'shliach, that you cannot appoint someone in order to hand over words. You can appoint a shliach, a messenger, to do something for you, but you cannot appoint him to say something which you yourself are required to say. The law is learned out from the case of a get, a divorce. where the husband must specifically command the sofer, the scribe, to write the writ of divorce and command the witnesses to sign it and so on. He is not allowed to assign someone to command the sofer to write the get or to command the witnesses to sign the get. He himself must do so. And so too in the case of giving a gift. Halacha yud, hamatona ka get. Giving a gift is in a certain respect like giving a writ of divorce. She'ein adam yochol limser dvarim l'shliach. A person is not allowed to hand over a verbal statement to a messenger to give over. Ketzad, for example, Amar l'shleisha, he sent to three people and commanded them, Imru l'pleini u'pleini she'yichtuvu ve'yachtumu b'shtar matona ve'yitnu l'pleini. I am assigning you, not that you yourself should write a document to transfer a certain object as a gift, but I appoint you to tell two other people to write a document and sign a document to give over a gift, and that you should give it to another certain person. Since they have appointed them as shluchim, messengers, not to do something, but to say something to other people, ein ze klum. This is valueless, because words cannot be handed over to a shliach, only actions. V'im amru la'esam ha'edim. Let's say these three went and found these particularly designated witnesses and told them what they were instructed to. V'kosvu v'nosnu l'makabel. And they wrote a document and gave the document to the intended recipient, Leikana. He does not acquire this object, since the entire transaction was invalid, since they were not valid messengers for the one who intended to give the gift. V'kenim amr l'shnayim, and so too if he told two people, kisvu v'chismu b'shtar matana usnu l'pleini. He told them, you should write and sign a document indicating that a gift is being given, and then you should give it to a certain person. They themselves are allowed to do so, but einam yechelim leimel l'sefer lichtav. They are not allowed to command a scribe to write this document. Elahem atzmam kaisvim kamei baget. They themselves are allowed to write it, just as is the case of the get. Since they were given permission, they were commanded to write, they must do it, and they cannot appoint someone else in their stead to write the get. It would seem that the first case is much more of a chiddush, and the second case seems to be self-understood after having the first. After all, if they are told specifically to hand it over to someone else, and even then they are not allowed. Certainly, if they themselves were told to do it, that they should not be allowed to give to someone else. So therefore, why does the Rambam need to mention the second half of the lacha? We could say that the first half of the lacha, not only they are not allowed to say to someone else, but there is no way of giving a valid transaction over here. Even if they themselves would write the document, it would still be invalid, since they have not been so instructed. However, in the end of the halacha, if they themselves write it, it is good. So perhaps we might want to think that since just as they themselves could write it, they could hand it over to others to write it, and the Rambam teaches us that even in such a case, it is invalid. Halacha Yud Aleph. A case of bishtar, a person who writes in a document, nasati sode plainis l'pleini, I gave, in the past tense, a certain field to a certain person, specifying the field and the person. Oisha kosov, or he wrote, nasati haloi, I gave it to him. Or oi, or he wrote, harehi shaloi, it belongs to him, meaning it, the field, belongs to this other person. Harezechaba keshiyagia ashtar liyodei. The intended recipient gains possession of this field as soon as the document reaches his hand. Since he says in past tense in the document that it was given, this is sufficient to transfer ownership as a gift to the recipient. Avalim kosav b'shtar et nenoloi. However, if he wrote in this document a future tense, I will give it to him. In such a case, afo pishei idwei lava'edi, even if witnesses testify to the fact that he said he was going to give it, leizocha makabel, the intended recipient has no right to this land. That since he only indicated his intention, this is a promise, and a mere promise is insufficient to achieve a transferal of property. Asher yemer la'edim, until the giver says specifically to witnesses, kisvu shtar matona, write for me a document of a gift, usnule, give it to him, v'kesvin v'nesmin le, and then he do write such a document and give it to the intended recipient. She'eina makabel zeicha ashi yagia shtar amatona liyode. The recipient does not gain control over the land until the document indicating there has been a gift reaches him in the hand. Or alternatively, ashi yazaki le boi al yedei achedim. Until someone else is appointed to accept the field or the document, in this case, on his behalf, kamosha beyarno, as we explained previously at the beginning of this perek. Now let's say there should be an apparent disagreement between the giver and the recipient. Halacha yibbeis. Ha'omer nasati sodel l'plenis l'pleni. The giver says that I gave this certain field to this person. V'hu omer, and the recipient denies it and says lei nasanli. He never gave it to me. Not that I don't want it. A factual disagreement. He says it was never given to me. Not that I don't want it, but I don't know anything about such a thing. In this case, we are concerned and we suspect perhaps he didn't really literally give him the document in his hand. Perhaps he gave it through someone else acting on his behalf. In this way, we can say that they're both telling the truth. All he said was, Nasati, I gave it to him, without indicating exactly how he did so. He could have used a third party to accept the field on his behalf. And therefore, the recipient could say, I know nothing about it, since the one that accepted it did not yet notify him. And so too the giver is also understood, because as far as he's concerned, he gave it. Avalim Omar, but if the giver says, not in a general way I gave it, he says, Kosafti v'nasati loy, that I wrote it and I gave the document to him, leaving no room for mistake. V'hu aimer, and the recipient says, Lay kosav, v'lay nosan li. He denies and says there was no such thing written, and it was never given to me. Who do we listen to in such a case? If it is the one who is receiving the gift that's saying this, the admission of one of the parties, one of the litigants in such a case, has the validity of even of 100 witnesses, and therefore he is believed. He does not get control over the field, and the giver is still allowed to eat the fruit from his field. However, if it is not the recipient himself, it is only the son of this recipient that says, nothing was ever given to my father, this field was not given to my father, the document and personally gave it to him. In such a case, we leave the fruit in the hands of a third party until we can clarify exactly what happened in this case. In the middle case in this halacha, where we said that the admission of a litigant is like 100 witnesses, one might ask if the same thing applies to the one that gave. The person that gave said, I wrote a document and gave him the document. And the other person says, I never received such a document. There's a direct disagreement, and we say as far as the recipient is concerned, his admission is like 100 witnesses. Why don't we say the same thing regarding the giver, that his admission that he did give it is also like 100 witnesses? The reason given by the Magid Mishnah is that it is more likely that the giver is making a mistake than the recipient, because the recipient knows what he took, whereas the one that's giving might have merely had a thought of giving, of writing a document and giving it to this recipient. Perhaps he is mistaking his intended thought with his actual action, and therefore he is not believed as much as the recipient, who certainly knows whether he was given something or not. And now to the end of the parak, we have other sorts of disagreements which can erupt between the giver and the recipient. Halacha Yud Gimel. Mekabel matana shaton va'omar. The recipient of a gift, or the apparent recipient, who claims, Zu shetachas yodi, eina matana biyodi. This which you see that I apparently have possession of, this was not a gift. Ela shemar ani olah, o kiyetzeboy. I am merely guarding it, or a similar claim. In other words, he is saying that he does not own it, he is merely guarding it. Aisha Amar, or he says, Betela Ayasa Mitchilasa, the Fishaloki Baltia, that the entire transaction was nullified to begin with, because I never accepted it. I never said I was taking this gift, I said I wasn't. I Balkorchi Ba'inis, or I was forced to take it against my will. I Batois, or I took it by mistake. O Kiyesa B'dvarim Elu, or a similar claim which, if believed, would invalidate the transaction and mean that he is not the owner. It is still the ownership, under the ownership of the original owner. In any of these cases, Dvarav Kayamin, we believe him. And he is required to take a shvuas heses, an oath by rabbinic decree, and then the land goes back to the original owner. The commentaries ask, why should it be that he should take an oath? What is he taking an oath for? He's saying it doesn't belong to him. What is relevant an oath over here? Give it back. It's within his power even to give it back to the original owner. However, the commentaries explain that it could be that someone that he owes money to, this recipient, owes money to someone, and he is now trying to recover his money from the land which he believes this person owns. And therefore, by giving it away, by giving it back to the original owner, perhaps he is trying to cheat the one that he owes the money to. Therefore, since he is affecting someone else with his rejection of this gift, he is required to take an oath, at least by rabbinic decree. And now the final halacha, halacha yudalit. The one that gave the gift, or what we assume to be a gift, claims that it was never a gift, that you were only a guard for this gift. You were only hired to watch it. Isha Omar, or he claims, Shalemi Daitin Asatiya. This was given to you against my will. Ikzulihi Biyotcha. Or it was stolen from me. Vaza Oimer Atana Satali. He says, no, you gave it as a gift to me. What do we do in such a case? Nishba Makabo Shvuas Heses Fenifter. The one that is presently in possession of it, the one the recipient of this apparent gift, is again required to take an oath by rabbinic decree, and then he is allowed to hold on to it. As the general law is in the case of a kefer hakel, that someone is accused of something and he denies it completely, he is required to take an oath by rabbinic decree. This would apply if it's a movable object, as long as he is in possession of it, and should it be land, if he has had control of it for 3 years, which gives a strong presumption that it is really his possession.